The president's made a couple of considerable moves here in the dismantling of the ACA, yesterday's announcement.
I'll also be signing something probably this week, which is going to go a long way to take care of many of the people that have been so badly hurt on health care. And they'll be able to buy, they'll be able to cross state lines, and they will get great competitive health care, and it will cost the United States nothing.
That was in the afternoon. We talked to Senator Johnson about that yesterday morning. Then last night, Executive Penn was in hand, and he stopped the subsidies to the insurance companies, which Barack Obama had done by executive order, and a court of law had already determined that to be out of order. So the president now says we are beginning to make health care affordable and more accessible for all of America.
We are going to also pressure Congress very strongly to finish the repeal and the replace of Obamacare once and for all. We will have great health care.
But it is difficult. It is complicated. Let's go to a mover and a shaker, U.S. Congressman Peter Roskam, Republican, who not only deals with health care from a leadership perspective, but also tax reform. And we welcome him back to WDLS. Am I correct to say that what the president did last night by executive order is totally appropriate? And I'm quite critical of the president sometimes, more of his Twitter feed and his tactics than what he's done or not done. But this was an improper move by the previous administration, so this is kind of a self-correction, isn't it, Congressman?
Yeah, I think it is. Look, I mean, I think what the president is, what's happening here is the frustration of the president of the United States is palpable. I mean, just simply palpable, that a core promise of the Republican Party, my party, has not come to fruition, and there's no excuse for it. There's no hedging about it. The GOP made a pledge to the American people that they were going to repeal a pernicious law and replace it with something better, and it's fallen short. So the president is saying, we're not moving on from this. We're going to continue to work on this. So you're going to see executive action like this moving forward. You're also going to see another push at the Graham-Cassidy approach, which was a compromise approach that fell short a couple of months ago. You'll begin to see that focal point again on that in the spring. And then remember, there's also a bipartisan approach that's being discussed between Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray. That's not repeal and replacement, but that's improvements on health care. So the note here, the bottom line is, nobody's going to stick around and just let this law stay the way it is, because it is not doing what it was supposed to do.
Congressman Peter Roskam joining us here on WDLS. He sits on the Ways and Means Committee. He's the chairman of the Subcommittee on Tax Policy as well.
Congressman, we know that if you make under a certain amount of money, that the Affordable Care Act might work out for you. But now you take a family of four, and you hear about these stories all the time, and you see their insurance premiums. Family that might be earning $100,000, $150,000 a year, which is, you know, I think that's probably at least middle class these days. Premiums that might cost $1,600 a month this year. Some people are being told they might spike as high as $3,000 a year. And these are the people that put Trump in office because he said he was going to fix this. How do you tell those people that that they somehow have to have this insurance, and they're going to have to come up with the money to pay for it?
You don't tell them that. In other words, you say you do what the president's articulating right now. That is, this has got to be fixed. These types of families, Ray, the ones that you just described, are getting whipsawed by this law. Their premiums are spiking. Their choices are diminishing. The co-pays are increasing. And listen, this was all within this promise 8 or 9 years ago that people were told your premiums are going to go down, $2,500 a year per family you're going to save, and you're going to love it. All turned out to be a bunch of nonsense. So there's no pump and sunshine on this. There's no telling these people that this where they are is great. And that's why I think you're continuing to see a lot of energy, both publicly and behind the scenes, at getting at this this really difficult problem.
The overhaul of the U.S. tax code, both for income taxes and business taxes, is long overdue. That being said, is this just going to be another spike in the deficits? Are we going to count on the economy to fill the holes, the gaps in the budget? How can we cut taxes, both income tax and business taxes, and not completely run out of control as far as the deficit is concerned?
So you do it holistically. So in other words, there's a couple of things that are going on. Number one is trying to bring, in particular, middle income tax relief, which is really, you know, that's the group that we were just talking about that's basically begging for mercy right now with their taxes being so high. And the other thing is, when you smooth the tax code out and you get rid of a lot of the special provisions, kind of the carve outs and the loopholes over the years, that brings in more revenue. And then the third thing is, think of it like you were borrowing money to buy an appreciating asset. So debt is a tool, and it's a tool that we use in our lives. Sometimes it's well used, sometimes it's misused. And so the current thinking is to say, okay, look, the U.S. economy is huge. It's not moving fast enough. Let's get it to grow faster. And so the current proposal is, let's borrow $1.5 trillion over a 10-year period. But based on the tax proposal, all $1.5 trillion within the tax code itself has to get paid back within that time period. So, yep, you got to borrow some money in the short term. You get growth. But the growth is not just pixie dust. It's not just people saying, oh, it's all going to be great. There's very scientific measures and so forth that will evaluate that growth. But here's the thing. We cannot stay where we are. The current tax code is stifling. We're only growing at 2%. Unless people think just kind of a green eye shade approach to that, our economy should be growing at 3% right now. You get growth going in this economy, I'm telling you, everything feels better. More opportunity, better paychecks, kids have more opportunities coming out of college, people are hiring, it's expansive. Nearly every other problem that society has to deal with gets easier to deal with if the economy is moving.
Yep, I think we all agree on that. Finally, this morning, Congressman Peter Roskam, a lifelong Cub fan, do you feel you can accept last night's victory, even though it appears that the Cubs may have gotten away with a missed call by the umpire with Javi Baez making it to first? What do you think?
Hey, come on. The game's over. Turn the page. Take the victory lap. Move on. And I don't want to hear it from the Nationals fans.
He's critical of the president, and he's critical of the umpires.
Thank you, Rush. But really, if you look at Major League Baseball rules, Baez hit the catcher with his bat. That means it's a dead ball. So that's it. Dead ball. You don't run to first. End of inning. Scherzer gets out of it, and maybe the Cubs don't make it. Now, I believe it's a human game. I've said that already. But still, you must feel it's a little tainted, the victory, don't you, Congressman?
No. I think it's great. I can't wait to wear a Cubs hat when I go back to D.C. in a couple of weeks. I can't wait.
How is Congressman Scalise doing? It was good to see him return.
He's doing great. I'll tell you, he gave a speech on the House floor when he came back, which was one of the most poignant, beautiful speeches I've heard in my whole life. And here's why. He gave credit to God for saving him. He gave credit to the first responders and to his family and to everybody else. But he made this point. He said, look, let's not forget that the world admires the United States of America. And he gave testimony basically to calls from world leaders who were calling him, wishing him well. And he said, we need to remember where we are in the great scheme of things in the United States, in the world. We're an admired country, and we've got to recognize that, and let's act like that. It was really a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it's good to hear. And it's good to hear that he wasn't, I know that we had some horrible news come out of Vegas in the last couple of weeks, and to hear him put that together from his point of view was riveting.
Yeah, he's really, I really have so much admiration, and he is a deeply appreciative man. He is deeply grateful for a country that he said, I knew people were praying for me. He said, I could feel the prayers.
Well, you know, the Cubs did their part to drain the swamp last night. Now you got to do the same.
Oh, that's good.
You can use that one. All right.
That was good.
Congressman, thanks so much. Have a terrific weekend.
See you guys.
Congressman Peter Roskam.